The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I was gone last week and have to come back now, and this gospel text hits me. It's something I have to deal with. It's not one that's easy to our ears. It's not one that it's hard to find. It is hard to find the gospel message or that message of love in this. Listen to part of this. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but division. That doesn't sound much like Jesus. We associate Jesus usually with peace, that Christ is the bringer of peace or the giver of peace. Even when Isaiah was prophesying about the Messiah, he said he will come and he will be the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And then after the resurrection, when Jesus broke into that upper room where all the disciples were gathered, he came and he said, peace be with you. So what's going on here? What is Jesus talking about when he says, you think that I've brought you peace? No, I've come to bring about division. A lot of times when there is going to be a peace, sometimes there is much conflict before that peace happens. If we put this gospel into its context of where it's written here in Luke, Jesus is headed towards Jerusalem. He knows what he's going to have to face there in Jerusalem, that he will be arrested, that he will be put on trial, that he would be tortured, that he would be condemned, and he would be put to death, hung upon a cross. Jesus knew what was coming, and even at this point in his ministry, I'm sure that he was constantly being bombarded by people, somebody with a broken arm, somebody with an illness, somebody with demons that needed to be cast out. People were surrounding Jesus, constantly being around him, crowding him. And Jesus felt that stress that was coming on. But yet, Jesus stays focused. He holds on to that focus of following his Father's will and being obedient to the Father. So he didn't have a whole lot of time or a whole lot of patience for these arguments that were flying at him from some of the religious leaders. He knew that conflict was coming, that it was not going to be peace for a while. As for us then too, you know, in this world, we may be the truest believers, but at the same time, we still live within a sinful world. We ourselves are still sinful, and we do not always have that peace of God with us. The other part in here that's hard to hear is about that division, where he says, there will be a divide, that there will be division between father and son, or between mother and daughter, between mother and daughter-in-law, that families are going to be torn apart. That doesn't sound much like Jesus either, because families are our closest relationships. As we live here on this earth, the people in our family are the people that we are closest to. For most people, that's the way it is. And God himself established the family. He created Adam and Eve, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and take care of it. And he also said, what God has joined together, let no one put asunder or separate. God established marriage. He establishes the family. He's given us the fourth commandment, which says, honor your father and mother. Again, all about having good family relationships, those family ties. And we are taught as we grow up that we should stand up for our family, or that we should help our family in every way possible, that we are a unit, that we are the closest thing that we have to God's kingdom. And I think that's what the family is. It's practice for us to live in God's kingdom. You know, the family is so important in our lives, but at the same time, it still is not the most important thing. Jesus was headed to Jerusalem. He was there to do his Father's will. For us too, that is our highest priority, is to do our Father's will. And as important as the family is, it is not the end. It's not perfection. We are only able to love because God first loved us. God is our highest priority. Faith in God is our highest priority. There was a seminarian who just graduated from seminary, and he was out doing some of his first interviews so that he could be the pastor of a church. And then throughout the interview, he caught on fairly early that there was one lady on that interview committee that was just a toot. Evidently, she had run crosswise with pastors before, and it seemed like she had it out for this young pastor-to-be. And she was needling him all the time through, kind of trying to rattle his cage a little bit during this interview. And he could tell on some of the other people in the committee there, they were just almost kind of embarrassed that she was doing this. And she asked one question that did come up. She asked, if you have a child sick at home and you receive a call that you have a parishioner that's gone into the hospital, do you do the right thing and go to the hospital to visit that member? The pastor thought about that for a moment, and he thought, you know, this is very much a hypothetical question. He was recently married. He had no children. He had no congregation. He had no parishioners. And how sick was his child then, here in this hypothetical question? Where was his wife? Or did it take both parents to watch that child? Was that child that sick? How sick was the parishioner? Was that parishioner on her deathbed? You know, all these kind of questions. And rather than getting into the middle of a fight or argument, he simply said, in my life, I have three very important priorities within my life. My first priority is to God, is my faith in God. That is the strongest priority that I have. The second priority I have is loyalty or care of my family, to make sure that my family is cared for and that they have what they need. And the third priority is work, that I can be the best pastor that I can be. But those were his priorities, and that's where he placed them. A lot of times when we live in this world, we do want peace. We don't want division, especially within our families. But sometimes there are very hard decisions to make. What decisions do you make when it comes up whether to keep your faith in God or keep your obedience to the Word of God or to family? Where do you go? Which direction do you turn? Maybe there's one or two members in the family who are Christian and the rest of the family is not. And there may be conflicts that they want to schedule things or events that are going on during times where you need to be involved with the church, whether at worship or whether in task force or whatever. And so you're divided. Which direction do you go? How do you go? And if you choose your faith, to act upon your faith, then maybe some of those other family members are going to deride you. It's hard decisions sometimes. Or there may be other decisions, not just with family, but maybe with work or maybe just other circumstances that go on. We have hard decisions to make, and sometimes that does make derisions. Sometimes that causes conflicts, and we do not have the peace that comes from God. One of the other things here, I think, is why this gospel lesson is so hard to read or so hard to contemplate, or why it doesn't sound like the words of God or the words of Christ, is because our society is changing so rapidly. And I think many in our society, even those who are Christians, want to reshape religion in order to fit society, rather than holding fast to the Word of God, holding fast to being obedient to God. And so it gets reshaped, and so there's passages within that Bible that are hard to understand or hard to read, and they get ignored or they get interpreted in different ways. And so there's division. There is conflict. The true peace doesn't come until Christ comes again. But in the meantime, He has left us His Spirit, who does bring us that peace of Christ. Christ stood among His disciples, and they were overjoyed. They thought everything was lost, and He stood among the disciples, and He said, "Peace be with you." There is a true, deep peace that Christ brings into our lives, that no matter what life throws at us, no matter what conflicts we find ourselves in, no matter what hard decisions we have to make, there is still that peace of Christ. It's like two different levels of peace. There is that deep peace, and then there is that peace that we experience from day to day or in our daily lives. And sometimes that daily life peace is not there. We read through that second lesson today, and there's that whole cloud of witnesses of people who had gone before us. And as Hebrews listed that out, the writers of Hebrews listed it out, many of those people suffered great things for their faith. They made those hard decisions. Many people were in prison. They were tortured. They were whipped. They were shackled. They were burned at the stake throughout the centuries. Many things happened to Christians because they made those hard decisions and hung on to their faith. At the time, there was not peace on the surface, but yet, deep down in their hearts, through that working of the Spirit, through faith in Jesus Christ, there was that deep peace. We're called to have that single-mindedness of Christ, to follow that will of the Father, even if that does take us to the cross. But when it does, it brings us true peace. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.